Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just ask, Lord, that you would use me, Father God, for your will, Lord. Let your power flow in this message, Father God, and through my body, Father God, through my mouth, Lord. That I may make known the mystery of the gospel, Father God. And Lord, that you, Father God, Lord, that the word that goes forth goes through ready hearts. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The last time I preached, the title of my message was, We Have the Best View. And I'm going to continue on that. Thank you, Si. And if you're taking notes tonight, the title of my message is, We Have the Best View, Too. And I'm going to open up in the scripture that we left off at. Actually, it's a scripture that Pastor Carol brought up at the end of my message. And the scripture is Psalms 110, 1 through 2. And it is I'm reading from the message. And it goes like this. The word of God to my Lord, sit alongside me here on my throne until I make your enemies a stool for your feet. The last time I ministered, yeah, I talked about us having the best view. The best view from being seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. So like I was saying, we have the best view because we're seated at the right hand of God. Okay? We don't, you know, there's nothing higher than that. And so it's good to know that in this particular scripture, it says, for you to sit alongside me here on my throne. That's Jesus talking to the body of Christ. Saying, until I make your enemies a stool for your feet. It's pretty cool, huh? And it's important to know that, and it's good to know that your enemies are God's enemies as well, right? You know, that you're not fighting this fight alone, you know? It's not just me against the world, God saying, go forth, and, right? So, you know, and it's good to know who your enemy is. You know, a couple of days ago, I had an opportunity to help a friend, a really good friend. He was moving out of his place, and so he had a few things he had to fix up from his house so he could get his deposit back. And so, you know, being the type of business that I do, you know, that's just my thing. So, I went down there to help him. But the situation was that the people he was renting from, how do I say this? I really didn't enjoy being in their company, you know? You guys ever have people like, you just like, oh man, I just cannot be around that person, you know what I'm saying? And so I was really like reluctant to go down and help out. And so even before I went down, I already had in my brain, like, you ever had one of those fights where you got into an argument with somebody, and you had that argument in your brain, and you're like, they said something, then you said something, and then, you just come out on top, of course. You always win that battle. You know, that make-pretend battle that never even happened yet, yeah? So already in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to go down, and this is going to happen. And so before I went down, I prayed. I said, Lord, give me the power to do this without stress, you know? Because, I'm going down to help somebody, and I don't want to get into stress about that. So I went down expecting a good thing, you know. But in my mind, I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, you know, I'll go down there. But then I went down, and I did what I had to do. And these people were there, and it ended up being everything that I didn't think it was going to be. It was exactly what I prayed for. God gave me the power to do what I needed to do, and it was totally different, man. It was like these people got saved or something. You know what I mean? I actually enjoyed doing what I did, you know? Have you ever come into a situation? I'm sure you guys have always, I'm sure you've run into people that you don't like to run into. And, you know, I got this in my spirit, you know, after that whole scenario was over, I was like, you know what? This is not right, you know? You know, I'm a believer. I am a Christian. I'm an example of Jesus. I am supposed to be light and salt to the world, these things are not supposed to bother me. And the Lord started to impress on me the message that I preached the last time I was here, you know, about having the best view, you know. And he started to show me that because we sit at his next to him at his throne, and his our enemies are his enemies, yeah? In reality, once he defeated our enemies, we don't have enemies, right? We don't have enemies. So he started to show me, yeah, that people are not your enemy, you know? People are not your enemy. Even though we're going to run into people that get under our skin, they're under our skin for a reason, you know? They are. It's to help us grow, right? It's easier to blame someone else than to deal with my own issues. Sometimes the issue is not with the other person, it's with you, right? Hey, that's kind of a hard pill to swallow sometimes, especially when you look at yourself, okay, now I'm in the position seated next to Christ. You know, I have all these things. I am an elder, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm all these things, you know, and it's like, it's very humbling to say, hey, okay, now I have to deal with this, you know? So, but if I'm going to blame someone, I ought to at least make sure I am blaming the right person. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that the real enemy of my soul is not flesh and blood. It's not people, you know? It's not people. I just want to reiterate that because we have the best view. The best view of looking at the situation is that people are not our enemies. They're not. They're not. And if this is any, if this is anything, if it's just for me tonight and I'm just telling you what the Lord has told me, then cool. But I believe we can all deal with this. You know, I can think back, okay, now, I'm going to say this way now. Don't take it the wrong way. I remember when we went out doing, we were passing out tracts. Remember Mama Carol? We had that scenario, me and you, you know? And that whole thing happened, and she said something to me, and I got like, little bit, oh, you know what I mean? And then after that, we went out, and man, Mama Carol, I love Mama Carol, you know? We went through that, and now, we cool, yeah? We all right, yeah? I don't see Mama Carol that way anymore, you know? You know what I mean? But sometimes we gotta go through these things, you know? Sometimes we gotta go through these things. And when we go through these things, it kind of shows us where we're at, you know, in life. You know, and we're always getting pruned. We're always getting pruned, right? For the Bible says in Ephesians 6, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. This is simple. If anything, I'm just encouraging you, like Lambert did last week, about things that we already know. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So that's what we wrestle with. That's our enemy. That's what we fight against. We don't fight against people. We don't fight against flesh and blood. You know? I mean, I want you to look at the people next to you, yeah? Look them in the eye and tell them, I'm not your enemy. 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 We're not enemies. Okay? Abraham Lincoln said this, do I not destroy my enemy when I make them my friend? You know, I'm reminded of the times in school, yeah, where there was people in school that just would, like, go out of their way to irritate me, yeah? But I'm reminded again, I remember preaching about this, yeah? 9 times out of 10, yeah, those people, yeah, just wanted to be friends, you know? And they don't know how to make friends, so they make trouble, you know? And then a couple times, yeah, I got into a couple scuffles with a couple guys, you know, Pastor. I mean, throw blows, you know, cracks. Then we became the best of friends after that. Funny how that is, yeah? It happens. We need to remember that we have the best view. You know, when it's time to bring pruning to members of my family, namely my two older boys, yeah? It's not always a grand experience, you know. I don't see any of my boys going, oh my gosh, my dad pruned me today, you know. He, mom, you know what happened? Dad scolded me today and he gave me correction. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Like, it's not always a good scenario, you know? And just today, you know, we was driving and I had a conversation. I call it conversations with my oldest. And things started to get a little bit. And after the whole thing, I felt, you know, and he felt, and I looked at him, I said, hey, I'm not your enemy. And he looks at me, I'm not your enemy. We're not enemies. We're not enemies. We got to understand that, you know. Things going to happen. Things got to get corrected. And we just keep moving on, right? And we become like one river. Just flows right through, you know. You know? Right? Like one river. We get trials in relationships, like I just said. And then I heard this, yeah. Because we go through trials and we go through these things, sometimes with people when we're not supposed to, yeah? I heard this scripture come up. And it was a couple of nights ago. I was dealing with our youngest one. He's got four teeth coming out now. So we got over the milk thing, you know? His stomach not sore anymore. Now his mouth is sore. So, you know, it's just another hurdle to come over, you know? And I was carrying him, and man, it was like just... I guess the only explanation I can give is like pulling teeth, you know what I mean? It was hard because he never let go sleep, you know? And if he don't let go sleep, nobody can go sleep, you know? We got to be up with him. And I was tired. I was cranky. And I got to tell you this, I was fasting too. I just can say that. And so I was a combination of hungry and angry. I was hangry, you know? So it was just not a good situation. And then I did everything in the natural. To, you know, try to put him to sleep, try to bribe him, give him a bottle, give him snacks. My wife hold him, I hold him. You know, I hold him, I get knots, and then give him to her, and then she hold him, then I hold him. Then it ends up, yeah? I tell you this, you can ask my wife, yeah? It ends up, 9 times out of 10, yeah? Him sleeping in my arms. He just, like, sleep with me, you know? He, like, I just hold him, he, like, I just give him love, yeah? Yeah, he end up just falling asleep in my arms, you know? And he don't like I sit down, you know, that guy. He like I stand up, he like I walk around, you know? And I got to remind myself, he's not my enemy. He's my son, you know? He's not trying to steal sleep away from me. And I heard this scripture. In Proverbs, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And when I heard that, I got, like, if I was on dog, my ears are... Now, you guys hear that scripture, yeah? And you probably hear them this way, yeah? If you faint in the day of adversity, you're weak, you know, on the negative side. You hear, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. But how many of you know, we got adversity every day, right? We got things we got to deal with every day. Nobody's life is ice cream, right? Can I get an amen? We all deal with stuff, right? And most times, those stuffs we're dealing with is usually with people, is with other people, right? So, you know, the Holy Ghost, we kind of turn that thing around. He said, God, you got to get a better view of this, okay? What is adversity? Adversity is difficulties or misfortune, okay? We understand that. Synonyms to adversity is... bad luck, we don't believe in luck anyway, trouble, difficulty, hardship, distress, disaster, misadventure, suffering, affliction, sorrow, misery, heartbreak, heartache, wretchedness, tribulation, woe, pain, trauma, torment, torture. All kinds of stuff, yeah? Adversity, yeah? So we get stuff come against us, yeah? And like I said before, when our strength is small, that's an opportunity to grow, right? When that situation happened, when I went to help my friend, and that was a situation to grow. And I grew from that situation, and then relationships were mended with people that I was with before, because they're not my enemy, right? People are not your enemy. They're not your enemy. The Bible says to be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now, here's that word again. Okay? What does it say? If you faint in the day of adversity, and then we hear adversary. You know, I looked up in the dictionary, yeah? There's a difference between adversary and enemy. So now in the Bible, yeah? The devil just got demoted from enemy to adversary. You guys, okay, let's look at that now, okay? I had him over here and I never put him down. So I got to look up adversary to show you what adversary is, okay? Give me 1 second. Just chew on that little while, okay? Because the devil, he's not your enemy now. He's just your adversary. This is cool. You guys getting anything out of this? You got it? So adversary, like your phone, man. Nice phone you got here. We upgraded and he got my old phone. But this old phone still get miles on him. So adversary is one's opponent in a contest, conflict, or dispute. Okay? Is it okay? You guys, nobody even go. He is just our adversary. The Bible says he walks about like a roaring lion. He got no teeth, right? He's defeated, seeking whom he may devour. How can he devour us if he's not even like a lion? He's only throwing on act. He's got no authority, right? Because we've got the authority. If we sit, we're not sitting at the foot of the cross now, okay? We're sitting at the right hand of God next to Jesus, okay? Who's got all the authority? Who's got all the power? Okay, now, there's a difference between power and strength now, okay? Because that earlier scripture I talked about says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I'm going to show you two different things about strength and power now. Because I learned this, okay? When you get to the end of your strength, yeah, what do you need? We need power, right? When we get to the end of our strength, we need power. God's power, right? Okay, so the word power, so there's a difference between strength and power. So the word power refers to the ability of somebody or something to change or affect something, okay? Now the word strength has a few different meanings, but most relevant here is that it refers to a person's physical or mental ability to do something. Now, okay, so in the beginning I talked about we sitting next to Jesus at the throne of God and him making all of our enemies our footstool, yeah? And I said that people are not our enemy, right? Sometimes, yeah? And I'm just going to say this for me now, okay? Sometimes our enemies are up here now. They make pretend kind of enemies, you know? They're not even real, you know? We look at people and we go, man, they get under my skin. They bother me. Ah, it's like, ah. It's not your enemy, bro. It's not your enemy, right? So all of our enemies as a footstool. So now we're learning that power and strength, okay? Now, the word strength has a few different meanings, but most relevant here is that it refers to a person's physical or mental ability to do something, okay? Obviously, it relates to a physical strength, okay? So we can come to the end of our strength, right? Obviously, it relates to physical strength, the strength of muscles to lift weights, for example, but also mental strength, so that the strength of your mind to believe in yourself, to persevere, to overcome problems and doubts. So keep in mind that strength has a direct opposite, okay? This is kind of cool when I saw this. The direct opposite of strength is, guess what? Who's weakness. Oh, Gina, you on it tonight. The direct opposite of strength is weakness. But check this out. There is no opposite to power. There is no opposite to power. It's powerless or powerlessness, but there's no opposite, okay? So power is just power. It's there. It's there for the grabbing, okay? And the Bible says, okay, so let me finish this, but power does not have a direct opposite. We would just say lack of power or describe someone as powerless, unable to change a situation. But we see that the power is there, right? Power is there, okay? The Bible says in 2 Timothy, I say just breezing through. I'm not even giving you guys scripture. I'm just reading them off, yeah? So 2 Timothy, let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7, and that's some pretty common scripture that we know of, okay? It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I want to give you the chemo version of that scripture. I like to say that God has given us, okay, God has given us the power of his love to have a sound mind. It's not a la carte, it's just all one. It's like one pill, one multivitamin right there, boom. He's given you the power of his love to have a sound mind. And when you know that somebody loves you, yeah, that's empowerment. You know that? You know, Jedediah, when I come home, yeah, almost every day, I would dare to say every day, yeah, he always greets me with, "Daddy, I love you." All the time, yeah. He's always telling me. He does it so much to the point where I tell him, "JJ, I know you love me." And I tell him back, "You know I love you." He goes, "Yes, Daddy, I know you love me." When he tells me that, when he tells me, "Daddy, I love you," and sometimes, yeah, when we're going through a rough patch, yeah, during the day, yeah, and Daddy is not too happy, yeah, and he can tell, yeah, he'll run up to me, yeah, and he'll give me a hug, and he'll go, "Daddy, I love you. I love you, Daddy." And I go, "Okay, JJ, I love you too," you know? That's power. Couple of weeks ago, we went to the car wash. Now, we have the power of God's love to have a sound mind now, okay? We have power. We went to the car wash, and Ezekiel, you know, he's not too keen on the car wash, okay? So to him, going inside a car wash is like being inside a big monster. You know, so we went a couple of weeks ago, we washed my wife's car, and my wife and crawled back there with him, and he was still kind of frantic, yeah? He was just, you know, like, you know what I mean? And then, you know, it just kind of breaks your heart, you know? And, you know, as a father, I don't want any of my boys, my wife or myself, to have any fear, you know? You know, I want to train them up to be tough. I want to train them up to be men, you know? To not show any fear, you know? I mean, but, you know, granted, yeah? No, I'm not going to go there. Never mind. Just erase that. So, came time again for wash the car. But we had Jedediah with us this time. So I was at home cruising. So, before we went into the car wash, I turned around and I looked at Jedediah and I said, "Look now, okay? You're the older brother here. You're the Baba. Sai is Baba to JJ, but JJ is Baba to Ezekiel, okay? You guys get it? Okay. Some of you guys, I'm not going to give you the interpretation of what is the interpretation of Baba? It's just older brother, eh? That's his Baba, okay? So I said, "You Baba now, okay? Sai's not here, you're Baba. So the way you act when we go into this car wash is the way that Ezekiel is going to act, okay? So you be a big brother to him and you show him how not to be scared." And we left it at that. So we started driving into the car wash. And then Ezekiel, he started, you know, anticipating, you know, you can see the you know, the stuff hitting the car. And, you know, they're shooting the car with the power washer, you know. And JJ's like, Ezekiel's like, And then you hear JJ in the back grab Ezekiel's hand. And he started going like this. He's going, "It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Don't be scared. It's okay." Oh, man, and like, oh, your heart melt, you know? It's like, whoa. And he never cried, you know? He never cried the whole time. And the whole time, JJ was holding his hand. "It's okay. It's all right," you know? And you know what? You know, this fear, yeah? I don't know where the fear came from. I never give my boy the fear. I never give any of my kids the fear, you know? This fear came because he chose to be afraid on that thing, on his own, you know? The Bible says that God did not give us fear. So it's not from him. So we don't have to keep it. We don't have to hold on to it, right? And I brought something tonight. I would like to say that I'm not afraid of anything. So I'll say it like this. I don't really care for spiders, okay? How many of you guys care for spiders? Nobody in here likes spiders. You like have a spider as a pet? When I went to go visit my brother in Arizona, he had on tarantula, and I had to sleep in the same room as that thing, bro. I was like ready to flush that thing down the toilet. So I got one. I got one right here. Oh, you like see this? Huh? Does that make you scared? Huh? Anybody? You want to hold it? I'll walk around. I feel like I've shown you guys this guy before. Huh? You guys seen him before? Huh? 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 God has not given, mama, God has not given us. These buggers, you smash him with your feet, like nodding. Hit him with a weed whacker. You know what I'm saying? You know? I got this because, you know what? I don't like being afraid of anything. You know? I don't. Huh? You seen them in real life, yeah? These things are weird, man. I still working up in Pukalani right now, and they get cane spiders up there. And I went inside a storage room, and I kid you not, had one about the size of my hand, was inside one of those buckets. And I tried to catch them, and that thing was more fast than me. And I was like, oh boy, I got to get out of this house, finish this place already. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us the power of his love to have a sound mind, right? And so we got to have the better view. We got to have the best view in that situation. When we see fear come in, yeah, we got to say, no. God never gave me this. Okay? When we look at people and we get in problems with them, yeah, we got to see that. We got to have the better view. They're not my enemy, right? When we feel powerless in situations, the Bible says that he's given us power. Like I said, I prayed before I went down for meet with those people, and I got exactly what I prayed for. You know, I didn't pray for strength. I didn't pray for strength because strength is it has an end. It has a limit. But God's power is limitless, right? When we come to the end of our strength, yeah, we call on his power, and his power comes true to do whatever needs to be done in our lives, right? The Bible says in Proverbs 24, I'm still in Proverbs 24, 5 and 6, it says, it's better to be wise than to be strong. Yeah? And wisdom knows that being strong has its limits, but God's power is limitless, yeah? I went to go see my doctor a couple of weeks ago, a specialist. And, you know, with my sinuses, he wanted to just do another checkup to just make sure everything was good. Because I did like one sleep study test. And they found like one minor sleep apnea thing. It wasn't too much to cause alarm, but they just wanted to do the checkup. So I said, oh, cool, let's do a checkup. So when I went to the checkup, they stick this stuff down your nose. It's like this long, man. And they numb your nose. And they shove him inside, you know, like on camera inside. And so, you know, since I was there, I figure, you know, I had some concerns. I figure I just bring them out to him, you know, some issues. And I say, oh, what about this? He said, no. And I said, so, well, what about this? And I said, well, you know, doctor, this has really been bothering me because this happened to me years ago. And I think that this is what is causing the problem in my sinuses. And so he said, okay, I'll go show you. Just like I want to show you by the word, okay? So he shoved that thing in my nose. It was just so uncomfortable. And man, that thing went inside my sinuses, went inside my cavity. And so, and then he made it so that the thing went down the back of my throat. And I could see like, you know, the inside of my tongue and down my throat. And I was like, wow, you see all that? And he showed me my ears. He showed me all that stuff. He said, okay, now. And this is where I got the clue that he was a believer as well. He said, okay, I showed you that. Now, I want you to take that out of your mind and don't bring them up again, okay? That issue you said that you had years ago, yeah, and you were concerned about it and you thought that thing was causing you problems, he said, forget about them. Throw them away. Cast it down. And he said that. And I was like, oh, this guy must be a believer. So I asked him. After he did all that, he said, so chemo, anytime you get issues with your sinuses again, yeah, don't bring that thought back up. Don't bring it up, okay? Because it's nothing. was like, wow, this guy's cool, man. I was sitting down. I was like, wow, I cannot wait for preach because I like share this with the people. Sometimes we bring those things back up, yeah, like with people, yeah. You know, like I just said, yeah, they're not your enemy. And then they do something for irritate you again, yeah. And then that whole thing come back, oh, man, I like kill this guy. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to pound him. I'm going to smash him. Anyway, but the guy's not your enemy. He's not the real enemy. That person is not your, she's not your enemy. They're not your enemy. The people at work, your family members, the people that you got to deal with day to day, they're not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. He's not even your enemy. He's your adversary. Okay? So we have the best view, right? We have the best view. We just got to look at it that way and just receive. And just, like I said, I mean, that spoke volumes to me. So I just want to reiterate it again. So from tonight on, just get rid of that thought, okay? Just get rid of it. Whatever you're dealing with one person or people or groups or whatever, we don't need prayer at the end of the service. You guys heard the word, okay? The microscope went in your nose. You saw all the way around. You saw everything. Everything's still good. Everything's still cherry. So just get rid of it. But there's people that, there's some empty seats inside here that got to be filled. There's some people that you been maybe avoiding talking to, you know? Go talk to them. Go talk to them. The door is open. No, serious. Come on, you guys. For real. Okay, some of the people that maybe thought that you were their enemy and they left, you know, they left their position, they left their spot, you know what I mean? Go talk to them. You know, we spend some time with people that don't come church anymore over here, that used to come church. And you know what? Okay, I'll tell you this, and don't get mad at me now, okay? I'm just going to tell you straight, yeah? You know what irritates me the most, yeah, is when people come in, oh, how are they doing? Right, you guys can do the same thing we do, you know? Call them up. Take them to lunch. Go sleep over their house. You know what I mean? I'm not scolding you guys now, okay? I'm not scolding you guys. I'm just giving them to you the same way. Because you have people that I need to go start talking to too, you know? Like I've been doing some work on the outside, and like I did work for a family member of, well, not a family that left this church. And that guy was like, man, he was like strong on me. He's like, oh yeah, my brother-in-law left the church, and he said, you guys don't love him anymore, and this and that. I was like, no. No, that's not true. He said, well, no, that's what he told me. I said, no, that's not true at all, bro. We love them. We love their family. We love them. I hope they come back, bro. I said, bro, tell them come back. The door is open for them. Come on down, bro. They're not I told him, you know my enemy? He's not my enemy. Tell him come down. But it's not even in my notes, okay? Matthew 11, 28 through 30, the Message version. The Bible says, in this version it says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Go back to the throne. Go back to the position. Go back to where you belong. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. You know, sitting at the throne, yeah, it's kind of cool, yeah? Like how Pastor Carol brought this out too, yeah? When you're sitting at the throne room of God, yeah, with Jesus, yeah? It's in a resting position, you know? And you're resting in the position that he bought for you, you know? And that's what we got to tell a lot of people too, you know? So come back and sit down where you belong, bro. Come back. You're not my enemy. I'm not your enemy. Right? Amen? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. You watch how the Father does it. You know? Jesus never treat anybody as his enemy. Right? I mean, he was hard on some people, and the Pharisees and Sadducees. I was going to say it wrong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And a bad, yeah. You know? Yeah. But they weren't his enemies. Even the Samaritan woman, right? When she came to the well, he healed her because she was persistent. People are not our enemies. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhymes of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen? So let's move forward tonight. You know, now, okay, I'm preaching this now because I've obviously dealt with it in my own personal life, okay? So we all go through this. It's safe to say we all go through it. So like I said, let's be a river. Let's be a river. You got anything? I'm looking at you like waiting for you. Okay? We good? You guys receive? You guys receive that? Amen then. Amen. Anything else, Pastor? Okay. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for your power going through tonight, Father God, with your word, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that it will accomplish what it was set out to do, Father God. It will not return void. And Father God, I pray that you empower your people by the Holy Spirit, Father God. I pray, Lord, that this word will stay ingrained in their minds, Father God, and in their spirits as they sleep tonight and as they wake tomorrow. The people that they come into contact with, Father God, that it will be a divine conspiracy, Father God, that the people that needs to be put in their path, that they will be there, Father God, and you will give them the words, Father God, and the power and the authority, Lord, to reach them. In Jesus' name. And before I say amen, I'm going to say one more thing. You know, a couple weeks ago, yeah? Actually, no, it was actually more than a couple of weeks ago. It was months ago. My wife and I, we went to one certain establishment. And I was going to share this with you because this is going to happen. This probably is happening to all of you. And it's just to remind myself, too. We went to this one place. And we were just checking out this one venue. And we was talking to this one brother. And he just started pouring out his heart to us. He started sharing stuff with us that... Man, you remember that, yeah? That I wouldn't even share with some of my own family. And we walked away from that. My wife and I, we walked away from that. We was like, you know, we were nice and courteous, and we walked away from that. And my wife was like, looking at me, and was like, does that happen to you a lot? I was like, you know what, babe? It does. It does. It's been happening more. And this was before we were ordained as elders. And so, you know, that was a missed opportunity. But then, one day we came home, and by the Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me, and this was actually a couple of weeks ago. This is after we were ordained, and by the Holy Spirit, I told my wife, I said, you know what, yeah? People know the anointing on our lives. They know the anointing on your lives. We are all anointed. Every member a minister here, because we're the body, okay? Not just the elders, not just the pastors, not the praise and worship team. We're all ministers, okay? And people in the world now, okay? They will see the anointing on your life, and they will pull on it even if you're not pulling on it, okay? And I told my wife that, and I said, when I was telling her that, three fingers was pointing back at me. People will start to pull, so get ready. When they pull, you get something to give. They pull in on you. Give them. Feed them. Feed them the word. No be shame. No be scared. No fear. You have the power. You are anointed to do what you've been called to do. So feed them and invite them. Invite them to church. Invite them. Even if they say no, keep inviting them. Keep being the light. Keep being the salt. Amen? Amen. Amen.